We have been studying, of course, in 2 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 2. And I want to read verses 3 and 4 to begin our thoughts this morning, where Paul tells those at Thessalonica, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." I want to read another verse in this second chapter. I want to read verse 7, which is not in our outline, but it says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." I want you to know that Paul is talking about the man of lawlessness or the man of iniquity. The word iniquity is the word lawless or no law. And Satan is the influence or the one who gives power to this man who is lawless. Not only will lawlessness be revealed in the last days, but it was working in the days of Paul. And we are not to be deceived by any means. We are deceived when we become lawless, when we think that we have certain liberties that we may exercise as children of God, and we ourselves come into a situation where we oppose God and we exalt ourselves above all that is God. That's what this man of sin is going to do, and he is going to influence those that all that he can to do the same thing. Now, what is he opposing? He is opposing the Word of God. All the principles, the values, the precepts that this Word presents. He opposes that, and he exalts himself above the God who requires obedience to this. And so that same vein, or that same spirit, is working today. And it's working in the lives of believers. Obviously, it's working in the lives of the world. When you see lawlessness abounding, I just think about Nebuchadnezzar's image of the head of gold and all the parts that and when you get down to the feet is a mixture of iron and clay. Well, the iron thighs of the image represented the Roman Empire. Did you know it was the Roman Empire that gave us laws that govern the people? And what happened in the feet, which we're now living in the toes and the feet of that image, is a mixture of clay and iron. You know what that means? There's still law, but the people have weakened it through lawlessness. If you don't like a law, break it. If you don't like the government, bring it down. So we're living in the days of the toes, where man is interfering with the law. Now, this is the law of man. This is Nebuchadnezzar's image had to do with humanity. But we're talking about the Word of God, and I think that we need to know how it applies to us today. In verse 3, it says, there's going to come a falling away first, and then the man of the sin. In the New American Standard Bible, it has the lawlessness, the man of lawlessness will be revealed. The son of perdition, Now, let me just say this. Judas is known as the son of perdition. I am not persuaded that Judas is going to be this man. This is a different man. And he is going to be revealed. The influence of this man is already being felt because lawlessness abounds. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." This defines the sin. And of course, the definition of the sin, which is a particular sin, it's not sin in general now. We're not talking about sin in general. We're talking about a specific sin, and it's the sin of lawlessness. New American Standard Bible does a pretty good job in translating this. It says, "Everyone who practices the sin also practices the lawlessness. For the sin is the lawlessness." Now, I put the word "the" in there because it's a definite article. "The" is in the text. So when you talk about the sin, we're talking about rebellion against God. We're talking about opposing that which God requires. We are talking about exalting ourselves above God's authority in our life. That is lawlessness. And there is a warning. I'm just reminded of that in my thinking, and I'm going to bring this out. In Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 26, it says, "If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." You come into the knowledge of the truth, and then you oppose the truth, and you exalt yourself above the truth, you have sinned willfully. That's the sin of lawlessness. Now, willful sin is not sinning because you want to. Because everybody who sins does it because they want to. You know, that's simple. You know, the devil doesn't make anybody do it. The devil makes the suggestion, and you say it's either good or it's bad. And we sin because we want to. But when we sin willfully, we are opposing and exalting ourselves above the authority of God. A willful sin is a sin that we will not confess. That's a willful sin. When we tell God, "Don't bother me with this, I have a right to do it," hang it on your beak. So, the sin of lawlessness is a sin that God hates. The Lord hates it. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, he says, talking about the Lord Jesus, he says, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves righteousness and he hates lawlessness. And so therefore, when we become lawless in our attitude and in our lifestyle, he hates it. He hates it. One of the things that happens is that the lawlessness of the world and those around us affect us, and it makes our hearts grow cold toward the things of the Lord. And the Lord says, "If you love me, you will obey me." So we need to be on guard with that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, it says, "For we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a just man." If you're behaving, you're not worried about the law. If you're driving the speed limit, you see a policeman, or you see a speed trap, no big deal. Just keep right on driving, you know. And when you walk into the bank and do your transactions and walk out, if you're not holding up the bank, you don't have to look to the right and to the left. So, if you are an obedient child of God, you don't have to worry about the law. But the law is for the lawless. The law provides those that are disobedient with guidelines. If you're disobedient continually, you're exalting yourself above God's authority. It says the law is for the disobedient, the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, profane. And it says for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. A better way of looking at that is it's the word murder should be translated smiters. If you smote or you hit your parents in the Old Testament, you know what happened? You were stoned to death. When you see people that are disrespectful to their parents or children disrespectful to their parents, that's lawlessness. For whoremongers or immoral people, for them that defile themselves with mankind, homosexuals. Today homosexuals are saying that I can be a Christian, a devout Christian, and live and God's pleased with me. Wrong. Wrong. That's not a lifestyle that God honors. Never has, never will. You're stoned those people to death. If you're a liar, the Word of God says you'll have your part in the lake of fire. I mean, you think of the lake of fire only being that for the lost, but it says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Revelation 21, 9, I believe it is. And it goes on here. Men stealers. I don't think anybody's stealing men, but this has to do with lording over people. We're to be servants of servants. We're not to be lording over people. I'm in a position where I could lord it over you, but the Word of God says don't do that. I'm a servant. And so for perjured persons, and if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, the law is to control these people that are out of control. Again, I remind you in verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, who opposeth and exalteth. These are pardon me. This word opposeth is a present middle participle. They oppose all the time. And the word exalt is in the present tense. It's present middle. The word, the middle voice means this, for myself. This opposing and this exalting has to do with me. I'm the one that has the authority to oppose. I'm the one that has the authority to exalt myself above God's requirements. And so lawlessness has to do with opposing and exalting. We're living in a time when there's a movement that is called the charismatic movement going on. And it's one of the fastest growing movements around. The churches that are charismatic are growing, are big churches, particularly the contemporary ones. But in Matthew chapter 7, there's something very interesting here. And this is really the message I want to give you this morning to encourage you. Because I'll just say this, we're not promoting charismatic activity in our church. To begin with, charismatic doctrine really can cause a lot of people to be depressed and discouraged. Because in charismatic churches, people are always looking for their what? Starts with an M. Miracle. They're all looking for their miracle. And you know what? They're not getting it. They're not getting the miracles that they're expecting. And if you don't get the miracle that you've come to get, how do you feel? You don't feel too good. You feel like God's against you. Or you've done something wrong. I don't know whether you... I get advertisements in the mail from the church. And I don't know how we... I think I know how we got on the mailing list. But I just throw the advertisements away. But it says, come down to so-and-so, to the Target Center, and get your miracle. And here we find in Matthew chapter 7 a group of people who were looking for their miracles, and yet God has a word for them that's not very pleasant. Okay? Let's look at it. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. So the subject material here is telling us we're talking about entering the kingdom, not just seeing the kingdom. We're not talking about getting saved here. We're talking about obedience to the will of the Father and entering the kingdom. And these are those who are able to say, Lord, Lord, because you can't say that Jesus Christ is Lord without whom? The Holy Spirit. We'll see that it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. And yet we know that the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You can talk the talk. You can say Lord, Lord, and yet you are not doing what he says. That's lawlessness or bordering on lawlessness. You're not doing what I'm telling you to do. And then in verse 22, it says, many will say in me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many miracles? The word wonderful works is really one word, and it means miracles. Lord, Lord? And they got a big old question mark in that expression, you know? We prophesied. They have prophets today. And they don't come true. And yet people flock to them. And they cast out demons. And let me say this. People say that these are lost people that are doing this. Let me tell you. Jesus helped us with that. Understanding that, in Matthew chapter 12, verses 25 and 26, it says, you know, Jesus was being accused of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, or the power of Satan. And Jesus has cleared the matter with that. He says, that doesn't happen. In Matthew 12, in verse 25, it says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Satan's no dummy. Satan put him in there to begin with. He's not going to throw him out. These are not lost people that are performing these miracles. And by the way, it's noticed that in verse 22 of Matthew 7, it says many. Now there were those that were given the authority to do that. The apostles, when they went out, the 70, when they went out, they had the authority to do that. Why? Because God gave them that authority. But you know, things change. They were given the signs just like Jesus was given the ability to do miracles. Why did Jesus have the ability to do miracles? Well, Acts chapter 2 tells us that God gave him that ability to do that to affirm who he was. And until the Word of God was provided for us, the way a man proved that he was from God was he raised the dead. He healed the sick. That's how you demonstrated to your congregation or to whoever you were ministering to that you, who you were from. And so therefore, when the Word of God came, I proved that I'm from God by opening the Word of God and expounding it. And you can check it out for yourself that whether I'm a man of God or not. If I'm not true to the Word of God, turn away from me. Don't listen to what I have to say. In fact, it's your responsibility to check out what I do say. And two things happen. It keeps me on guard, and it helps you to learn the Word by studying what you heard. Now, let's continue. Let me continue. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 29 through 31, it says, Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet Paul makes a little interesting statement at the end of this chapter. Yet show I unto you a more excellent way. These are all sign gifts. Not all of them are sign gifts. Obviously, I'm not persuaded that God is giving us apostles. There are 12 apostles. That's it. But he has given prophets after the apostles. And he has given us teachers. One of my gifts is the gift of teaching. I do not have the gift of miracles. Do not come to me and ask me to perform a miracle. I don't have that gift. I can come and ask God to perform a miracle if He wants to. God doesn't always want to perform a miracle in your life or mine. I've lived 64 years, and I know that for a fact. And I'm not living in sin. Okay? I know what it means to believe in the present tense, I think. You know? Believing in the present tense means to endure in the present tense. That's what it means. Being faithful. So, I don't have the gift of healing. I don't have the gift of tongues. I don't have the gift of interpretation. Now, Paul says, I've got a better way. There's a better way coming, is basically what he says. In chapter 13, he gives us the more excellent way. It says, love never faileth. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. These are sign gifts. Did you know who the Word of, you know what Jesus said, who seeks after a sign? An adulterous generation. You looking for a sign? The Lord calls you an adulterer. You're immoral. Man, what a title to hang on somebody who is seeking a miracle. Sign gifts were given to prove who you were. You don't need those anymore. Because when that which is perfect is come. Now, people say that that has to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I looked in the Word of God. I used the computer and I searched the whole New Testament. There's no place in the New Testament that says that Jesus is perfect. We know that Jesus is perfect because He is God manifest in the flesh. But we don't have the word perfect or complete associated with the name Jesus Christ or the Lord Jesus Christ anywhere in the New Testament. So out of the clear blue sky, people are saying that when that which is perfect has come, by the way, that is in verse 10, is the second coming of Jesus Christ. In other words, we can speak in tongues, we can do miracles, we can prophesy until Jesus comes. There is no place in the New Testament where the word perfect or complete, that word perfect really should be translated complete. It's also translated as a man or full age in Hebrews chapter 6, five and verse 14. The point is, I'm saying that which is perfect is coming has to do with the Word of God, the completion of those things that are in part. We prophesy in parts. But when that which is perfect is come, then all the parts are done away with. I don't need somebody to stand up and proclaim something from God because I have it already. It's complete. When that's come, I don't need a sign gift to show me who is a man from God. I don't need additional revelation. One of the things that I ran into just this week, someone was telling or talking about, God told me this. God told me to do this, and God told me to do that. I said, God didn't tell you to do a thing. God isn't talking to man like that anymore. Now, God is leading us to do things through circumstances, the Word of God, peace in our hearts, but He's not talking to us. And if He is, and you're talking to someone who says that God talked to me, you need to give them a little space. And when I mean a little space, I mean 4 or 5 miles. God is not talking to man today. He doesn't need to. He's done all the talking that He wants to do right here in His Word. If God's talking today, there's confusion. Because they're not all saying, they're not all talking what's in here. And that's wrong. Okay. So what we're talking about here in 1 Corinthians 13, 9 and 10, it says, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." Prophecy had to do with people, because they didn't have the Word of God to read, the Holy Spirit would come upon a man and he would stand up, and what he said was as if God Almighty was talking. That's the authority that the man had. That was the voice of God. Because they didn't have the Word of God. Okay? And so they were in parts. One prophet stand up for a while and talk, and then he would sit down. Another prophet stand up for a while and speak for a while, and then he'd sit down. And that's how it worked in the church. But when the Word of God was completed, there was no longer need for that. And it says it will cease. Now, how do we apply this? How do we apply this? Well, if we're looking for a miracle, or we're looking for something that is extra from God, and we are wanting to prophesy and to cast out demons and to do many wonderful works, and in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 23, it says that Jesus said, Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work lawlessness. People who prophesied in His name, many of them, who cast out demons, who did miracles, those were works of lawlessness. Okay? And He says, I never knew you. But I think it's pretty interesting to see. There's one thing He did know about them, that they were workers of lawlessness. And to say that Jesus didn't know them is to say that God's pretty dumb. I thought He knew everything. What is happening in verse 23 of Matthew 7 when He says, I never knew you? He says, I'm just denying you. You know why I'm denying you? Because you denied me. You were looking for a miracle for something that I wasn't interested in curing or healing. You were looking for information above and beyond what I have given you. That's prophesying. You're casting out demons, and I'm not against relieving a person from being demon-possessed, but I'm not going to walk up to a person and tell him and try to talk to the demon and ask him his name and throw him out. I don't feel that I have that authority. I can pray for someone who is in bondage. Okay? In fact, my encounter with people with demon possession have been very minimal that I know of personally. And usually they're not interested in spiritual things at all. They are just totally away in total. But the point that I want to get across here is this. These people who are prophesying in his name, casting out demons, and doing miracles are not living in the spirit of sonship. They are denying God's will in their life. When you have the spirit of God's Son in your life and in your heart, you know what you're crying? Abba, Father. You find that in Galatians chapter 6, 4 verse 6. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. What does that mean when you cry, Abba, Father? You find that in Mark chapter 14, verse 36. And Jesus said, Abba, Father. Did He have the Spirit of the Son? Yes, He did. And He says, all things are possible unto thee. You can give me divine revelation. You can heal everything that's wrong with me. You can change my circumstances with the snap of your finger. You can deliver me from any bondage that I have. And Jesus said, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou, not what I will, but what thou wilt. If you're not living in that spirit right there, you're living in the spirit of lawlessness. You're not allowing God to be in charge in your life. There's just some things that God's not going to change. And one of those things is if you expect to enter the kingdom, He's not going to change suffering, whatever form it may be in. Persecution, physical sickness. Now you may have times of relief, but some things just keep coming back. My wife has had migraine headaches for 30 some odd years, 35 years. Now she gets relief occasionally after every one so far. Praise the Lord for that. And that's not gone away. You know, that has not gone away. And you know what? I prayed about that once. You think so? No. I prayed about it 1,000 times. We've been married 40 years this year. The last 35 years, I've been praying for it daily. And I don't know how long, I don't know how many times that is, but you know what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with letting our requests be made known unto God. But you know what? There comes a time in your life when you've got to say, Abba, Father. And not look for a miracle. People are looking for a miracle. They don't have that spirit of submission. They don't have the spirit of sonship. And may the Lord help us not to ever get that kind of an attitude. That we cannot accept what God provides. What happened when the children of Israel said, Lord, we loathe this light bread. You know what they're talking about? Manna from heaven. Can you imagine loathing something God gave you from heaven? Did you know God's kids can do that? May we never come into the place where we loathe what God gives us. Because the children of Israel said, Lord, we've got to have meat, and we've got to have it now. We got to have a miracle, and we got to have it now. And you know what? God gave them meat. And you know when they started getting sick? The first time they bit on the drumstick of that quail. And you know what? It wasn't long. Quail was coming out of their nose. Now I'll tell you what. When food's coming out of your nose, you are really sick. That's what happens when you ask God for something that He doesn't want you to have and He allows you to have it. May we not have the spirit of lawlessness where we oppose what's going on in our life, where we exalt ourselves above God's plans and purposes in our life. Father, we just pray that you would just bless this message to each of our hearts this morning. May we go away this morning with a submissive heart. We know that the man of sin will be revealed. Lawlessness works in the world today without shame. And Lord, we know that it affects us and it can touch our lives and it can cause us to become indifferent to your will and your plans and your purposes in our life. Give us the spirit of sonship where we can cry, Abba, Father, and not demand from you things that are not pleasing to you. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us to apply the thoughts that were given this morning from you, that we might glorify the Father through the Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it is in His name we pray. Amen.